This is Eshin Akins, and welcome to Two Guys and a Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Two Guys and a Podcast. We're excited, you're excited, everybody's excited.
We are, welcome back, man. We just couldn't be more excited to be here. We, once again, in the studio, we have a man that really needs no introduction.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yes.
And paranormal.
And the truth. He's a myth, he's a legend, and he's true. He's real.
That's right.
As he sits before us. And we're sitting, I'm just going to, right now, let me see if I can draw a picture for you, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Ash and I, we are sitting in the regular blue chairs that are really just are a little bit too short for the table, whereas I just got a new nice chair, and Mr. Billy White is in the chair. He's in the seat of honor. He's in the Tower of Power. Anybody remember that old band? And man, he is here, and he's got a word. He's got a word. He's got some stories.
So let's break this down to y'all. We're sitting in the studio in probably about 90 degree weather. We have to have a fan blowing because it's so damn hot in Alabama.
For those of you who are above the age of 22, the fan we've got going, my mom gave it to me the other day. She had it packed back for decades. It's called a Windmaker. A Phil Rich Windmaker. That's the manufacturing company. And out of Houston, Texas. And these were the fans you grew up with. That everything on them was silver metal. And you sit down in front of them and talk like Darth Vader.
And it will cut your damn arm off.
Sing like Elvis.
It will absolutely cut your fingers off, and it will keep not miss a beat.
That's it. It won't stop.
It won't stop.
Cut a tree down with it, guys.
I promise you.
It feels good, though.
It does.
Yes, it does. Well, right now, we don't have central heat running to the bunker. I didn't want to do anything to tip off any of the organizations that are trying to find where we're located and get a bead on us. So, you know, we have to make sacrifices.
That's right. So, Jason, we're going to dive into some nerdness real quick.
Head first.
We had Loki drop on Disney Plus. We've both had a chance to watch it. Billy says he hadn't had a chance to watch it yet, but
we're about to spoil
he's
it
ready
him.
For us to spoil
I'm
it
ready.
For him.
It don't matter.
That's right. Billy said he don't care. Put it on me. Mr. Resch, I'm going to tell you my honest opinion. So far, it's a home run. I think it is far and away the best Marvel television show. Now, to be fair to WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, they were both affected by COVID. There were scenes that were deleted from both of them. Benedict Cumberbatch had several scenes in WandaVision. Chris Evans and I can't think of the young actress that plays Yelena Belova in the new Black Widow movie. They had scenes in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. None of that was in those shows. It was a little bit kind of thrown together at times. But this show had no issues, and man, it shows.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the best one hit Disney Plus yet.
No doubt. No doubt. Tom Hiddleston, he can act, can't he?
Man, and he's hilarious.
If he ever decided he needed to do something else besides acting, I don't know what it would be. He needs to stick with acting.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, he's good. I love, you had mentioned when we were talking, the three of us sitting around here, about his comedy timing, Tom Hiddleston.
Yes.
It is fantastic. He hits it just right. It's not corny. It's not forced. You know, and like I told you guys, the thing that impressed me the most about the show, because we're entering a phase in Marvel where they're about to get into the multiverse and to alternate realities and things like that, and we're going to see a lot of that in Doctor Strange 2. We're going to see some of that in the Spider-Man 3. Well, it looks like this is the show, and according to Kevin Feige, this is the show that's setting it all up, because they dove in the first episode head first into an explanation of the multiverse.
Right.
And I was sitting there watching, you know, when they had Miss Minutes, the little cartoon, and she's like, this is what the multiverse is. This was the multiversal war before. And now at the TVA, the Time Variance Authority, we keep everything under control. You know, yes. I was like, wow, they're laying it out.
It was a little confusing at first. When they bring Loki into the holding area at the TVA, and they, you know, take the time, the Tesseract, and then on down the road, you know, Loki breaks out, and he's going to collect the Tesseract.
Yeah.
He wants it before he leaves.
Yeah.
He finds that the Tesseract and the other Infinity Stones are ineffective in the TVA.
Ineffective. I wondered about that, and then I remembered something a few days ago. I had a young man ask me, why do you think... Nick, that was on our Star Wars show, he said, why do you think the Infinity Stones were ineffective? And all of a sudden, bam, I remembered it. Okay. In the new version, the 2014 Secret Wars, before we enter the Secret Wars and Battle World, you have what's called a multiversal incursion. In other words, something is happening, and all of these different universes are colliding and destroying each other. So at that time, the Illuminati, which is Namor, Black Panther, Captain America, Iron Man, Charles Xavier, they get together and they say, we got to stop this.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. That's right, Doctor Strange, my bad. We got to get together and stop this. Well, Captain America's like, whatever we do, we cannot harm the other universes. So they're like, okay, Cap, we got this. And they come up with a plan. We'll use the Infinity Gauntlet because they still have it. Well, as one of the universes gets close, Captain America, wielding the Infinity Gauntlet, tries to stop it, but the Infinity Stones shatter. The reason they shatter is because in any particular universe, whatever Infinity Stones come from that universe are the only ones that are effective in that universe. Say if I took one from... you know, whatever.
Earth 602,
and I brought them to Earth 619. Whatever. And for those of you that don't know, that's designations for different universes in Marvel. I think the Marvel Comics... 616. That's the proper. But you can't take Infinity Stones from one universe to another universe. They're worthless.
Well, that makes no sense, though, because when they did the time heist...
I know.
To get the Infinity Stones, is that not...
Well,
I don't know.
They went through time and not multiverse.
Right, right.
That's the difference.
There you go.
That's the difference. Which brought up an interesting thing when Loki was brought before that judge, and he said, listen, if I'm here, what about the Avengers?
Right.
They traveled through times, took Infinity Stones and returned them, and what'd she say?
She said they were meant to do that.
Yes, they were meant to do that. You were not meant to do what you did.
He was not meant to escape.
He was not meant to escape. And they were going to kill him. They were, or reset him.
Right.
Bloop.
Now, somehow, Jason, I kind of feel like they're going to use this show to bring Loki back to life.
I do, too. Haven't they said that it's already been greenlit for a second season?
I think so.
I mean...
But I think they're going to... Just a way to bring Loki back into the main fold of the MCU.
Yes.
He's too strong of a character, I think, to kill off.
I agree.
And the only reason Iron Man was killed off is because Robert Downey Jr. was ready to end the role.
He felt like he had gone as far as he could.
Right. His character arc had come full circle.
I think after that Dr. Doolittle movie, he kind of feels like, man, I think Iron Man's looking real good right now.
Right. I think I might need to call Kevin and get back in the fold. I've still not seen it.
I was going to see it, but then I heard how terrible it was, and I was like, you know, everybody lays an egg.
That's it.
But, I thought that was... pretty cool, and it really, I kind of compare it to The Walking Dead, which, you know, been on for years, and two of the most popular characters for years have been Daryl and Carol. Everybody, even who's the sheriff?
Rick
is gone from the show. Different people have left, but it's like, you better not kill
Carol. They're in the process of filming the final season,
right?
And they're saying Rick's coming back for the final season,
right?
And Daryl and Carol's getting their own spinoff show.
I heard that. So I kind of look at Loki the same way. He's such a popular character. I think, man, you're making money with this guy. They're like, you know what? We're making too much money with Loki. We're just going to leave things as they are and say, well, how'd that happen? Comics.
And he's a god. I mean.
And he's, yes. Really, Ragnarok should be the only thing.
Loki, the Avengers wouldn't exist.
That's a fact.
Avengers number one, that's how they all came together to fight Loki.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yep.
Wasn't aware.
He was in the MCU movies, Thanos had actually sent Loki on a quest to find the Infinity Stones.
Right, right.
And that's why they came together in the first Avengers.
I didn't think about that. So it mirrors the comics.
Yeah.
Just it updates. Wow. That is a new thing. I did not know that.
Right. So where do you think they're going to go with Loki, Jason? I mean, there's a lot of ways they can go. You're going to have the multiverse opening up. As you can see at the end, you know, Loki finds out that the TVA is actually looking for a rogue variant that is Loki.
Yeah. I think you're going to see, and they're going to take it from the comics, you're going to see Lady Loki, the female Loki, because his gender, as it said on his thing, is fluid.
Right.
I think you're going to see Kid Loki. I think you're going to see the older Loki played by Grant. Oh, gosh, I can't think of his name. Sometimes we're not so great with names, folks. Anyway, he's a very distinguished older actor. He's going to be more of the traditional evil kind of mischievous Loki. I think you're going to see a lot of that kind of stuff. Plus, I think you're going to get teasers or allusions to Kang the Conqueror.
Yes.
And I think they're going to try to lay the groundwork so that when you go into Doctor Strange or you go into the Spider-Man movie, you've already got an idea on what the multiverse is.
Right.
Because of Loki.
Right. They're going to use it to open up the multiverse.
Yes, sir.
So the first variant Loki we see is at the very end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is the female version of Loki. Looks like a female.
The way the cloak looks like a female. I agree. I think
so,
it's a lady.
Basically, the premise of this first episode, there's a variant, Billy. You've not seen it yet. And they're from another multiverse, but it's another version of Loki.
Yes.
And they're traveling through the multiverse killing TVA agents.
And the TVA are like the time cops.
Yeah.
Their job is, quote-unquote, to protect the sacred timeline. So if you everything's supposed to go a certain way, but now Billy White decides, you know what, I found this technology, I'm going to change things so that so I can go to Vegas and make a big killing on a football game because I know how it's going to turn out. You're going to show up at the TVA. It's what's going to happen. They're going to say, "What do you got to say for yourself, Billy White?" And you'll be like, "Roll Tide." And they'll say, "Well, guess what? You reset. Wow!" And you're gone.
Now that makes sense.
The only thing that'll be left is that Alabama hat.
That's it. But very enjoyable show. I'm ready for the next episode. Drops on Wednesday.
Yeah. Owen Wilson. What do you think?
Fantastic.
God.
Fantastic.
He is good. Yes.
Yeah. Great role.
It is. He is so good, man. They did right on that.
Right. And he reminds me of just an old drunk cop that works for the department. Just kind of
seen enough.
The laid back guy. Seen too much.
Kind of like after you've worked at where we all have worked. After you've been there long enough, you're just like, whatever.
Nothing surprises you anymore. You're just like, okay.
Those young cats, they're ready to run to everything, and you just walk.
Stop and get you a cup of coffee on the way.
Yes.
Eat a donut as you're walking down the hallway.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a little bit, there's been a little bit more news come out of Marvel. They named a Hispanic actor, I believe he's from Mexico, Tenoch Huerta, to play Namor in Black Panther 2. So that's a big one. You know, we've been waiting on Namor for a lot of years.
We've been speculating Namor since Endgame came out.
Yes.
There at the beginning, we're talking about a disturbance under the sea.
The earthquake.
Right.
You know, and Black Widow says, well, what do we do about it? She says, hey, we don't do anything about it.
Right.
You know. So I think that's going to really open things up there.
Have you heard any more news on how they're replacing Chadwick Boseman?
Nothing. Buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, they are keeping it quiet.
I mean, my thoughts are they're replacing Missouri, his sister.
That's my thoughts. That's exactly my thoughts. You know, I don't know how they're going to do any of this. I'm purely speculating. But you got to think, since they're bringing Namor in, without T'Challa, without his protection, I don't know if they'll have another Black Panther named yet, or if it will take time. If you're Namor and you're gonna attack when T'Challa's gone.
When
the Guardian's not there. So that's exciting. And the villain for She-Hulk has been named.
Share it with us, Jason. You said you knew a little bit about this villain.
I do. Titania. And let me tell you, give me a second. I'm going to look up
while Jason's looking this up.
Is she the one that was Crusher Creel, the Jordan Man's girlfriend? Okay.
While Jason's looking this up, I've been reading a little bit into the new Spider-Man, new Venom movie.
Okay.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, yeah.
They're saying he is going to be the darkest villain you've seen in a Marvel movie yet.
Wow. Well, he's a serial killer.
Was Sony doing it and not Disney over the reins?
Right.
Sony, they can go a little darker, and I feel like Morbius is going to be the same way.
I agree. And that's what we want.
Yeah, because, I want a little darker side.
Yeah, because DC's kind of had the market cornered on dark.
Yeah.
And Marvel, you know, I mean, it's time. It's time to do some things that are a little bit, I guess, I hate to say a little bit more adult because I don't like the way that sounds, but a little bit,
Right.
Yeah.
And something else I read, a fellow comic book nerds here, the Sentry, Marvel character. In the comics, he is going to be more like a Deadpool character breaking the fifth wall. He's going to know he's a comic book character.
Really?
Yeah, I read a new comic book line coming out about the Sentry.
Okay. Isn't the Sentry kind of like Marvel's version of Superman?
Yeah. That's what I've always thought.
Yeah. But he's going to know that he's a comic book character.
That's weird.
It is weird.
You know, with Deadpool, you're kind of like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, but with another character. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was an interesting tidbit. You know, I do a lot of reading on different stuff and comic books. And I thought it was pretty cool.
I do too. I think it's very interesting. The actress who will be playing Titania is Jamila Jamil.
And what is she known for, Jason?
Let's see here. What is Jamila Jamil known for? The Good Place. She was kind of an important actor on that sitcom show, The Good Place.
Okay.
I believe Ted Danson was in that. I never watched that before. So, whatever. But I don't know that much about her, but it's kind of an interesting choice. I know Titania is a classic She-Hulk villain. From the comics, but she goes back to the original Secret Wars from 1984, and she ends up getting part of Colorado gets transported to Battle World, and so she shows up, and she's always wanted to be a superhero, and she's kind of this skinny, not very strong young lady, and she and her friend come upon Dr. Doom, who decides, you know what, I've got this alien technology here at my disposal, I'm going to help you out, but you're going to work for me. Okay. So he imbues her with super strength, durability, all the stuff that goes with it, and she becomes Titania. So that's where it comes from.
Awesome.
Yeah. Bada boom.
Boom.
So I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of them Secret Wars I have never read.
Well, you know, those were the... I read some comics growing up, but when I was in the fourth grade, is when the original Secret Wars came out, and those were the first that I didn't miss an episode. It caught me, and after that, man, I was sold.
It's like that's where Venom came from, basically, because Spider-Man's black suit was actually Venom, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I remember he. His original Spider-Man suit was damaged, so they used some of the alien tech to design him a new suit. I remember the issue of Secret Wars, I want to say it was 8, maybe, that came out. It was just a big deal for me, but he was on the cover, and he had the black suit on. And I remember it had kind of a little bit of a caveat with it. It said, amid the chaos comes a costume. And at the time, they didn't tell you didn't know it was a symbiote or any type of alien living organism.
Right.
That was later. But it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And for me, you know, being a big Dr. Doom fan, that was as good as it gets because he played a major role in the original. Well, and in the 2014 also.
Right.
And do you think, with all this going on in Marvel, are we ever going to see them? Gee whiz.
Let's see.
Man, come on now.
So, just to finish up the Marvel news, we do have Black Widow on the precipice of dropping.
July 9th.
July 9th.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to drop in theaters on July 9th, as well as Disney Plus. You do have to pay an upgraded fee on Disney Plus. I think it's $29.99 to view it at home.
You save a penny.
You'll save a little bit. Well, you actually save a lot of money. Once you buy tickets and go to the concession stand.
Well, with you and Mr. Billy here, y'all end up having to take more than one person.
Yeah.
So it really costs y'all.
Right. Now,
me and my wife, we may go. And, if we go prime time, everybody knows Friday or Saturday night, we may get out of there with $40 to $50, 22
yeah.
of us. But we'll buy the popcorn, the Cokes.
I'm always going to do that.
Buy the absolutely. It's part of the experience. Too,
what, you got to have it. You got to have it.
Well, I'm going to lay this out for you. July 9th, when I get off work, I'm going to say it's on a Thursday. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to watch it that night.
You're going to watch it? Well, now, okay. I'm sure it will be a midnight. It'll be a midnight release on July 9th. Don't you reckon?
I don't know. I think it'll be It may be a midnight.
Or maybe July 8th. It'll be midnight.
July 8th. Yeah.
Ah yes. You know what? That sounds like a winner to me.
That's what my plan is.
I'll probably go to the theater see it because my wife really likes to go to the theater, so we'll go and do that. But I would be fine just watching it on the TV.
Yeah.
You know, because you're in the comfort of your own home. And
what else? And you can pause it when you got to go to the bathroom. You ain't missing nothing.
That's it.
What else we got dropping this year,
which
Jason?
Which is more and more often the older I get.
Right. We got Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi will be, that's dropping.
November? Is that right? We got several.
November is Eternals.
Eternals.
September is Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi is September. And
yes, sir.
We've got,
yes, sir.
And Venom's dropping this year?
Venom is dropping October.
And maybe Spider-Man in December, is that
December,
right?
December, Spider-Man. And I believe that is it. I believe that's it.
That's, five, six good movies.
Man, we got, really the only pause, you've got Black Widow, bam, hits you in July.
Nothing in August.
September, Shang-Chi. October, Venom. November, Eternals.
December, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. So, yeah. So you.
They're on the cusp. I thought we had seen a trailer for Spider-Man 3.
Ah, I know it.
They got us.
They got
that
us.
Was not a trailer.
They got us.
I was excited. Matt Murdock in the opening scene of the trailer.
Yes.
But they got us. They've not dropped the official trailer yet. They keep teasing that they're on the cusp of dropping it.
Yes. Well, they even said this new Peter Rabbit 2 film. They said when Peter Rabbit 2 comes out, the big trailer for it's going to be Spider-Man. Well, we don't know.
We don't know. When's Peter Rabbit?
I thought it was supposed to come out this Saturday, but then someone told me, oh, no, it's not time for that yet. What do we got? Let's see here. Let's see when Peter Rabbit 2 comes out. Because I know... Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway. Goodness. Well, June the 18th. So that's this week, right?
Yeah, this week.
Thursday?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so we may see a Spider-Man 3 trailer.
Yeah, before our next episode.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Because yeah, that's a Sony film.
Right. And so that wraps up Marvel News.
Wrapped up.
Folks, we're going to dive back into our last discussion. Of UFOs, the potential of alien beings. We're going to dive back into that.
Yeah.
Have we heard anything from the government on this yet? I know we talked last time. We're waiting on something to come out from the government.
Okay. There is supposed to be a report this month, I believe, that the Secretary of State and the Director of the National Director of Intelligence are supposed to be putting together for the Senate. Marco Rubio was kind of the lead on that, Senator Marco Rubio. But I don't know if it's for the full Senate or for the Senate Intelligence Committee, but they are supposed to put forth an official report on what they have and what they know and what they don't know. So, you know, to go to talk about that, for since you brought it up, you know, you've heard us before on this show mention Project Blue Book. Project Blue Book was the U.S. military and the Pentagon's effort to investigate UFO sightings, everything from photographs to testimony to what have you, to try to determine, well, what was going on there. Well, you know, it's one of those kind of things where people aren't sure, well, were they really trying to determine, or were they really just trying to spoon feed us and say, everything's going to be okay, y'all just shut up now. We don't know. I believe it was 67 or 68 when they closed Project Blue Book. But they got a lot of information, and it goes all the way back to Roswell in, I believe, 45 or 40, 49. When Roswell took place, it's in the late 40s, maybe 47. I've hit every one of the years past 1945.
It was in the 40s.
It was in the 40s. But that was their thing. And basically they said, well, you know, we pretty much can explain most of this by natural phenomena.
Swamp gas, weather balloons.
Swamp gas,
ball
weather
lightning.
Balloons. Yeah, it's a ball lightning. And the rest is undetermined. Some of the photographs could be in question, so that was that. Everything's fine, folks. Nothing to worry about.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
That's it. Nothing to see here. Move along. And now we're in a totally different ball game. Totally different. And I'm going to tell you, we really need to take our hats off to some guys, a lot of guys and girls and ladies, men and women, who over the past decades have dedicated much of their time. And
well, their life,
and put themselves up for ridicule to pressure the government for what's termed as disclosure, disclosing what they know about UFOs. And, you know, I mean, you see that and you think, well, he's a nut, or, you know, that's just silly. But it's kind of coming around full circle now that they were on something. And you know, so, and we'll get into that. I don't want to just jump over everything on that, but that's kind of where we're at. We're looking at the military and UFOs. Our last episode, we talked about NASA and UFOs, and Billy talked about some of the different incidents that have taken place and what NASA's stance has been pertaining to UFOs. And typically, it's been nothing to see here, folks. Move along. About the same. It was a solar blanket that was lost from the shuttle. It was a satellite.
Billy sent me a video after our last episode from YouTube. How can you, the government and NASA, call these renowned astronauts crazy?
Yes. And you've had a lot of them who over the years have kind of walked back their statements. And like, well, you know, I really didn't mean that, or I didn't saw what I thought I saw. And, you know, you've had a few who have stood by what they said.
Absolutely.
Right. You it's know. Just what one thing that stands out to me about that video is it seemed like numerous times NASA would say that was the booster or part of the rocket that had come off. Like them pilots didn't know better than that.
Yeah, like they don't know what they're flying.
Real. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
They haven't trained tirelessly for these missions and seen this.
They don't know the booster.
They don't know. Yeah. Not a clue.
Yeah. And I'm sure those guys were smart enough to know, hey, that means shut up. Quit talking
Very
about
much
it.
So.
Yeah. So this is where we're at right now with the military and UFOs. A lot of what we're hearing right now was kind of brought to the national attention by a guy named Luis Elizondo. Now, we're going to talk about him a little bit later and what his experience has been in the Pentagon and the efforts he's been making. But before we get there, Mr. Billy here, he has some different stories from Korea and Iran, because this is the thing. You know, we hear about what goes on in the United... Well, I can't say that. We don't hear about everything that goes on in the U.S. with our military and UFOs. We hear a little bit. We hear this and we hear that, then we see it on the History Channel. you know, but there it's worldwide. It's worldwide. A lot of stuff has come out of Moscow over the years, things that have happened in the old Soviet Union and Russia. But you take a country like Korea or Iran, they've had their own incidents.
Israel.
Didn't Israel shoot at one?
They did. They were unsuccessful. When have you ever heard of Israel being unsuccessful?
Yeah, especially shooting at something.
Right.
I mean,
it's what they're known for.
That's just the reality of it.
That's just that's it, man. That's the jib of it. But what do you know about the incidents that took place in Korea and Iran?
Okay, the Korea incident, I have known about it for several months. And the information I got was from History Channel, history.com, that was updated on January the 15th, 2020. And the headliner said, when dozens of Korean War GIs claimed a UFO made them sick. And this was in May of 1951, 1 year into the Korean War. Private First Class Francis P. Wall and his regiment found themselves stationed near Choron, about 60 miles north of Seoul. As they were preparing to bombard a nearby village with artillery, all of a sudden the soldiers saw a strange light come up down from the up in the hill, start coming down the hillside. And this is the their words right here. It says, it was like a jack-o'-lantern come wafting down across the mountain. What happened after that, the pulsing attacking light, the lingering debilitating symptoms would mystify many for decades to come. As the GIs watched, the craft made its way down into the village where the artillery airbursts were starting to explode. We further noticed that this object would get right into the center of the airburst of the artillery and yet remained unharmed. Wall later told John P. Timmerman of the Center for UFO Studies in a 1987 interview. Suddenly the object turned, Wall said, and whereas at first it glowed orange, now it was a pulsating blue-green. He asked his company commander for permission to fire at the object with armor-piercing bullets from an M1 rifle. As the bullets hit the body of the craft, he recalled they made a metallic ding sound. The object started behaving still more erratically, moving from side to side, and its lights were flashing off and on. Wall's recollections of what happened next are stranger still. We were attacked, he said, swept by some form of ray that was emitted in pulses in waves that you couldn't visibly see, but only when it was aiming right at you. That is to say, like a searchlight sweeps around the segments of light, you would see it coming at you. He said he remembered a burning, tingling sensation sweeping over his body as if he were being penetrated. The men rushed into an underground bunker and peeked through the windows, watching as the light hovered above them and then shot off at a 45-degree angle. He said it was just that quick. It was there, then suddenly it was gone. 3 days after the incident, the entire company of men was evacuated by ambulance with special roads cut to haul those who could not walk or were too weak to walk. When they finally received medical treatment, they were found to have dysentery and an extremely high white blood cell count. To me, says Richard F. Haynes, a UFO researcher and former NASA scientist, they had symptoms that sounded like the effects of radiation. In the wake of the Korean War, which ended in July 1953, dozens of men have reported seeing similar unidentified flying objects over the period of a 37-month conflict. And the crafts are often said to resemble flying saucers. According to unofficial reports as many as 42 were corroborated by additional witnesses, and which is an average of more than one per month in just over the 3 years.
Now, was that the North Korean military, or was that our military?
That was U.S.
U.S. military.
U.S., yep.
Was there ever a response from the Korean government on the...
I have no idea. I just wrote down the dysentery, that's how you pronounce it, is the infection of the intestines resulting in severe diarrhea with the presence of blood and mucus in the feces. So that usually comes from contaminated water or food.
Right, like Ebola or something like that. Wow, that's deep information.
Well,
dating back decades.
You know, it makes me think about stuff that I've read in the past or seen on YouTube now. There have been different reports throughout history, and I'm going back to ancient history, where you would have, say, a conflict between a Roman legion and Germanic barbarians, and then something would land or something would happen, and they'd be like, you know what, we're not going to fight today, guys. And they'd all back off.
Right.
Alexander the Great, same thing. There was an alleged UFO. It was more than a sighting at one of his battles. It seems that these, whatever they are, tend to be very interested in the military maneuvers and the military function of humans, of earthlings, for lack of a better term. So none of that surprises me. I mean, I think the whole the increased white blood cell count, that really got my attention, because, you know, first thing I thought was radiation, cancer.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, unless they were exposed to some kind of experiment to do with atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb, how do you explain that?
You can't.
You can't.
I mean, I think dysentery is fairly common in war from, like, contaminated food or water, but not the... They didn't get that before this incident, that, you know, there was no reports of that. So,
well, and at that time, I mean, you're thinking back to the Korean War, did they even know about radiation?
They did, but I don't think in the same way now we think of it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't think your average person would have really thought that much about it, because we were just entering the atomic age.
Right, you wouldn't have encountered it on a battlefield in the Korean War.
Right. Now, unless an atomic bomb had been dropped, you would not encounter it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and... but, and then the thing about it, too, you think back. I had a great uncle that was in the Korean War. We all probably had some older relative at some point that might have been there. These were not people who were prone to telling tales.
Right.
Or making stuff up, especially about that. You know, I mean, they're not going to want to be the guy that gets laughed at.
They've got more important things. I mean, more about that.
If you look back at that time, I mean, how much science fiction stuff was out there? So they don't even have that concept in their mind to, hey, let's bring this big hoax up that we saw little green men.
A lot of them around here didn't have running water.
Right.
You know?
Think about that. I mean, that's...
They were wiping their panties with Sears and Roebuck.
That's a fact, man. We actually, at the time, we're living in a poor county.
Oh, that's right. We're still living in a poor county.
Let me just...
Billy White says, speak for yourself, guys. I'm doing just fine. What about Iran?
Okay, the Iranian one, I just stumbled across it the other day, and it was a document that it took years for it to be released, but the individual that posted it got it from through the Freedom of Information Act. It's from the Iranian military incident in September 19th, 1976. At 12:30 a.m., this report starts by saying that Iranian Air Force jets and a UFO, which played cat and mouse with them, was appearing on radar and paralyzing their weapons and electronic systems when the jets attempted to fire on it.
Like an EMP?
Yes. The document, I wrote all this, and the document of the incident was received by the following agencies and offices. Check this out. Secretary of State, the Central Intelligence Agency, the White House, the Air Force and Army Chiefs of Staff, the Chief of Naval Operations, the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Naval Forces in the Middle East, the Commander-in-Chief of the U.S. Air Force in Europe, the European Defense Air Command, and the Commander-in-Chief of Forces in Europe. All of them got a copy of this document. What started it was, there were four phone calls were received from citizens living in the Shimaran area of Tehran, saying that they had seen strange lights in the sky. So F-4 was scrambled from the Shahrokhi or Air Force Base to investigate. Due to its brilliance, the object was easily visible from 70 miles away. As the F-4 approached at a range of 25 nautical miles, he lost all instrumentation and communications. He broke off the intercept and headed back to the Air Force Base. When the F-4 turned away from the object and apparently was no longer a threat to it, then the aircraft regained all instrumentation and communications.
It was almost like a sense that aircraft could be a threat, so it's like, let's go ahead and shut them down.
Right.
Let's go ahead and block them.
Seems to be about somewhere around 25 nautical miles is when that happened.
Wow.
It says what year was this?
1976.
So EMPs were not even really a...
Not then, no. Uh-uh.
Not at all.
At 0140, that's 1:40 in the morning, a second F-4 was launched. It says the backseat acquired a radar lock on at 27 nautical miles at 12 o'clock high position with the rate of closure at 150 nautical miles per hour. As the range decreased to 25 nautical miles, the object moved away at a speed that was visible on the radar scope and stayed at 25 nautical miles. The size of the radar return was comparable to that of a 707 tanker. And I looked that up, that is a refueling aircraft. The visual size of the object was difficult to discern because of its intense brilliance. The light that it gave off was that of flashing strobe lights arranged in a rectangular pattern and alternating blue, green, red, and orange in color, but they said it was flashing so fast you could see almost all the colors at once.
Wow.
The object and the pursuing F-4 continued on a course to the south of Tehran when another brightly lighted object, estimated to be one half or to one third the apparent size of the moon, I guess from their perspective, came out of the original object. This second object headed straight toward the F-4 at a very fast rate of speed. The pilot attempted to fire an A1M-9 missile, I don't know if that's AIM-9 missile, at the object, but at that instant, his weapons control panel went off and he lost all communications. At this point, the pilot initiated G-dive to get away. As he turned, the object fell in trail, and what happened? And appeared to be about 3 to 4 nautical miles as he continued in his turn away from the primary object. Wait a minute. The primary object went to the inside of his turn and then returned to the primary for a second. This one rejoined the primary object. Shortly after the second object joined up with a primary object, another object appeared to come out of the other side going straight down towards the ground at a great rate of speed. The F-4 crew had regained communications in the weapons control panel and watched the object approach the ground, anticipating a large explosion. This object appeared to come to rest gently on the earth and cast a very bright light over an area of about 2 to 3 kilometers. The crew descended from their altitude of 25 miles to 15 miles, continued to observe and mark the object's position. They had some difficulty in adjusting their night visibility for landing, so after orbiting a few times, they went out and they came in for a straight landing. So there was a lot of interference on their communications. And the one civil airliner that was approaching during that same time also experienced communications failure. While the F-4 was on a long final approach, the crew noticed another cylinder-shaped object about the size of a T-bird. I looked that up. That's a small supersonic jet, a T-33, at 10,000 feet with bright, steady lights on each end and a flasher in the middle. When asked, the tower stated there was no other known traffic in the area. And during the time that the object passed over the F-4, the tower did not have a visual on it, but picked it up after the pilot told them to look between the mountains and the refinery. During daylight, the F-4 crew was taken out to the air in a helicopter where the object had landed, which was on a dry lake bed. But as they circled off to the west of the area, they picked up a very noticeable beeper signal. At the point where they returned, the beeper signal was the loudest. There was a small home with a garden. They landed and asked the people within if they had noticed anything strange last night. The people talked about a loud noise and a very bright light, like lightning. And it says that the area where the object is believed to have landed is being checked for possible radiation. And that's how the document ended, and there was nothing else on there about it.
You know, I mean, just that technology alone, that time period, no government in the world would have had that technology at that time.
No. And the fact that it was reported to all of these government agencies, they don't report just, I mean, I may call up Billy White and say, listen, you want to buy a chance on turkey? Yeah, I'll buy a chance on turkey. All right, here, give me a dollar. You know, but that, when you're talking about reporting stuff to some of the different agencies that Billy listed, they don't fool around. They don't fool around, man.
And governments don't really communicate like that, especially back in the 70s.
Oh, that they were our mortal enemies.
You didn't just communicate with other governments like that.
No. That you got to think that was right after, right before. I mean, they were. Well, I say they were enemies. 76. I think the Shah was still in power. So, just a few years later, they were our mortal enemies. That was the. The Iranian hostage crisis in 78, 79, I guess. But, but if I remember correctly, you know, these reports go way, way back as far as the U.S. military. I know there were reports in the 50s of jets being scrambled around Washington. Didn't you say something about something to do with the UFOs and... some of our nuclear launch sites.
How I found out, my wife had listened to a Glenn Beck podcast, and that was the topic that he was talking about, is there's a pattern of these objects showing up at our nuclear facilities, not just ours, but other countries around the world. And a couple of times the missiles have been activated.
Mm-hmm. I believe Russia has reported that happening.
Okay, yeah.
Some of their nuclear sites.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's scary.
That's terrifying. It just seems like they have a big interest in our military capabilities.
Absolutely.
Well, perhaps they're trying to invade us, and they're trying to figure out what our capabilities are.
Could be reconnaissance.
They've got to have some kind of motive. I'm sure that's not just their hobby, you know.
Well, it could. You know, you got to think. If you're going to come here and look, wait a second. This whole planet's inhabited. This is what they're all about. Okay, let's see what kind of damage they can do. You know, let's observe and see what we're dealing with here.
But then, of course, it could be an alien family vacation. God, we're going to go fly around Earth. What's see what the little Earthlings are doing.
It could be, man. It could be going like to one of those battle reenactments where people dress up, you know, in the old blue and gray, and then they act like they got shot at the Battle of Bull Run.
That's right.
They lay in the field and bloat, practice their bloating. But I'll tell you what has really set some of the stuff off right now, and the whole report that's going to go to the Senate. It starts with a guy named Luis Elizondo. Luis Elizondo, for about 20 years, was an intelligence operator in the United States military. He worked for the military in Afghanistan, Guantanamo. They said the Middle East. I'm assuming it's Iraq. Could have been somewhere else. And was not a UFO guy. Well, in 2007, then Majority Leader of the Senate, Harry Reid, who was friends with the Bigelow guy, Bigelow Aircraft, Bigelow Industries, who is one of the companies that has been trying to produce a vehicle that could go into space and come back. He's also the guy that bought the Skinwalker Ranch, point of interest. Very good friends, yeah. Big contributor. Harry Reid made sure that $22 million was set aside for a new organization in the Pentagon called ATIP. ATIP stands for Advanced Aeronautical Threat. I messed that one up, didn't I? Oh my God! Someone help me out.
You said
Advanced Aeronautical Threat. What does it stand for, Billy? Help me out.
I remember you said something about the A.
I just repeated that. These acronyms mess me up. ATIP. The Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. I'm very sorry to all of our listeners. I get tongue-tied on that one.
It's okay, Jason.
Thank you, sir. Well, in 2008, they asked this guy, we'll call him Lou Elizondo, he wants to go by Lou. They asked him to come on board, and it was mainly made up, it was kind of part-time guys. You had intelligence guys, guys who were like kind of engineers dealing with electrical or light type stuff, you know, because you got, that's some of the things you have to investigate with photographs and things like that. You know, they were just going to investigate UFOs, or they call them UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon. And so they started getting into it. And there was an incident that came to their knowledge in 2004. It's referred to as the Tic Tac video. And I won't play any of it right now, but basically, we've all listened to the video of the pilots who allegedly, I'm thinking, let's see what ship that was. I want to say it was the Nimitz. Let's see.
We've talked about that video in the past.
Yes, we have.
Billy brought it to our attention.
Yes, he did. Let's see. Navy pilot who filmed the Tic Tac UFO speaks. It wasn't behaving by the normal laws of physics. Chad Underwood. And he was the one that recorded it. Okay, wow. He was in an FA-18 Super Hornet. I believe there were two of them that were scrambled to intercept this thing. It was on November 10th, 2004. Let's see. Off the coast of San Diego, west of San Diego. Near San Clemente Island. Mm-hmm. Wow. They said that the object exhibited ballistic missile characteristics. They zoomed from 60,000 feet to 50 feet above the Pacific Ocean. Alarmingly, without producing sonic booms. So this thing dropped from 60,000 feet to 50 feet, just like that. No visible signs of propulsion. No markings on it, no anything. You know, I think the fastest jet we have is the SR-17 Blackbird?
Something like that.
And, you know, I actually heard Lou Elizondo talking about it. He said it can go as fast as what they were seeing, I think over 3,000 miles per hour. But for it to make a right turn, it would take nearly half the state of Ohio to make that right turn safely. These things are making right turns on a dime. They exhibit characteristics of something that defies the natural laws of gravity of this planet. They seem to be able to fly through air, through water, and possibly through space. When pilot Ryan Graves, who was a lieutenant in the Navy, was interviewed on 60 Minutes just a few weeks ago, he said that we see these things all the time.
Right.
All the time.
I've seen that article also. Really.
Yes. And which stunned the interviewer. And generally, there a lot of times they're over water, off the coast of Virginia, off the coast of Jacksonville. They've been seen over the USS Nimitz, the USS Princeton, one of our stealth ships. And that's just the ones we know about.
Right.
It's absolutely amazing. And these fighters will intercept them and struggle to get them locked in. And this is all backed up with gun cameras, with radar, with all kinds of data besides just the pilots who are top of the line. Some of them are Top Gun graduates. Some of them are squadron commanders who have reported seeing this stuff. I mean, it doesn't get any more legitimate. And this is stuff that's been going on for a while. And most of these guys, for decades, if they saw something, they're not going to tell it because they don't want to be the crazy guy, the weird guy. Now the U.S. military, their official policy is to encourage pilots to report what they have seen, which is a big, big change.
Which tells me that the government's got to be getting close to giving us that information.
I think they're going to give us everything that they feel like they can give us without compromising something that's classified. Because even if it's, you know, if we were to hear it and say, well, that's nothing, if it's classified, that it's classified, I'm sorry.
I mean, my thing is, you know, they're going to release this information. That's just going to bring up more questions.
Oh, yeah.
About our whole existence, I guess you'd say, to the point of where did we get all this technology? When we saw this technological boom, where did this technology come from?
As I've said before, how did we go from transistors to microchips in a few years?
In no time.
In no time.
And just the advancement we're seeing now in technology is absolutely unreal.
We're just a few years away from serious, true AI. Artificial intelligence. We've already got machine learning.
And that's terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. I'm telling you, man. The machines are going to know what what's right. going.
You know, it sounds crazy, but it always reminds me of Terminator when they had the system that was over the military, and then it came
became self-aware.
And launched all the nuclear missiles and tried to wipe out humans.
Yeah, it decided that humans were its greatest enemy.
I mean, that part where it became self-aware, is that even possible? I mean, that's scary to me because I heard people, they get these things set in their home and they tell it, like, play a song or something.
Siri.
Or something like that, and that sucker would just out of the blue start laughing. I'm serious. This has been a couple years ago, but I'm serious. And I'm thinking, that's kind of...
Man, I don't want that thing in my house. That sounds like some kind of poltergeist stuff going on there.
That's right.
I'm telling you, man, the machine's going to know what size underwear you wear.
I would like to see if they do release some, like, really good information. Hey, look,
yes,
they exist.
Yeah.
We've been tracking them for decades.
There's something there, folks. This is about all we know, but there's something there. It's not baloney.
I want to hear what the White House's response is going to be to this information coming going public. I think it would have been a lot funnier when President Trump was in office.
I think he would have just been all over it.
He would have. It'd have been.
He'd been all over it.
He had to have known something because of Space Force.
He would have been.
I mean, what kind of shit? I mean, really?
He would have been promoting Space Force with that.
Oh yeah, I think that'd have been. Let's knock the aliens out.
Yeah, I think Biden is so old school. I think he's just gonna be like, "Ah, you guys are crazy," and walk away.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think he's
like the video of him eating his ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be like, "Ah, don't worry about it."
Right.
You know, it's something, brother.
Yeah, Jason, I see what you're saying, man. Biden might just play it off, but then he might panic.
I think he'd just play it off and say, whatever. Nope. I think it'd be he'd pull the old man card. You know, y'all crazy.
Y'all blowing smoke up my ass.
don't they have advisors?
That's a smoke enema.
You know, I'm sure when the president takes office, they're informed about stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I would hope.
Yeah. I would hope so. But, you know, there's also a degree of, I do believe, of like, well, he is a politician. He's not straight up military. Maybe he don't need to know. So, I mean, you're talking about when you get into career military and intelligence, that's a different breed. Yeah. Totally different breed.
There's stuff going on with them that the White House don't know about.
There's stuff from decades ago we still don't know about.
Right.
So I don't know, man. I just I think we are living in an age now where it is very difficult. Once something comes out, it's difficult to keep it under wraps. And, you know, everybody might not believe it and everybody might not be interested, but it's something you can't hide because people with the internet, everybody is their own media company.
Well, you know, the thing is, people are interested. People have always been interested, going to be interested in the possibility of life on another planet or out there in space.
That's right.
Who's to say they're not out there living on big ships like you see in Star Trek?
I mean, if they're capable of doing this, then all bets are off.
Right.
Anything's possible.
That gentleman you were talking about, that Luis
Elizondo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was reading that interview, and he was like, you know, it ain't nothing secret that we have.
Right.
Or he would, I mean, it's not, well, then is it Russia? And Russia was having the same problems that we have, so if it rules out Russia, then what about China? And China was stealing information or technological information from us. I know Los Alamos they did.
Oh, yeah.
So if they're stealing from us, how do they leapfrog us? You know?
Yeah.
So that just, you know, that just rules them out also.
Exactly. I just don't think most of these countries are years behind us.
Yeah.
So, and it's been the case for decades. And, you know, I agree. I don't think it's anything we have. I just don't. And I believe the experts are coming out now finally and saying, listen, you know what? That's all cool, man, if you want to go to Area 51 and watch the skies, but this ain't us, you know. And
I don't believe it is either. It can't be. It's not the United States government. I mean, it's any government in the world that's doing this.
Right.
It's got to be something else.
Got to be.
I mean, just the sheer fact that there are these sightings are making unnatural moves. They're traveling at speeds that we can't match.
Right. They,
You gotta think, you're thinking fast. I mean, you're thinking, we have Mach speed, right?
Yes, we have. I think, I don't know what the Blackbird gets up to. Is it Mach 7? I know I'm not sure.
We've broke the sound barrier.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But we've not broke the light barrier.
No, that's another level right there.
I mean,
that's another level.
Think about that.
I mean, when you can spin, bend space and time, you know, which now, that's assuming, we don't know what, you know, they see no signs of propulsion. We don't know if these guys are these craft or whatever they are interdimensional and how they're.
And what are their fuel sources? It's not fossil fuel.
No, I mean, when you start thinking about that, you start talking about hyperdrives and all that.
I mean,
anti-gravity would explain at least somewhat no propulsion, but it goes way beyond that.
Oh, it does. And when you think about the Now, this is just me talking off the top of my head, but the Hadrian Collider over in Europe, where they are colliding particles at such high speeds, they were concerned at first that it might actually produce black holes, and things like that. The non-Hadrian Collider, I believe that's what it was called. You got to think, man, if they have anti-gravity type technology or hyperdrive or what have you, then they're tapping into the very energy and power of space itself. That's unbelievable.
I mean, that brings up the possibilities of traveling at the speed of light.
Oh, yeah.
Time travel,
anything you want, you got it.
It's...
And do we know for sure that these are not some type of past, and I'm getting way off the reservation now, but some past civilization of humans that left this planet millions of years ago?
Yeah, I mean, thank
you. I mean, you can get onto all kinds of areas with it.
And we could talk about it all day.
Yes, we could. I do think once this report has been sent to the Senate, we need to cover that in an episode.
Oh, no doubt.
And go through it and really dissect it.
Right. I would like to see the reports on it. I'm sure that's something you can pull on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
That ain't on every news outlet in the world. I mean, especially in the United States, I'd be surprised.
I would be
surprised. Well, it may be put on a hush-hush to the media.
That wouldn't surprise me. It's just the talk about UFOs has been on the news and all these news outlets for the last couple months pretty heavy.
Oh, yeah. It's all the major ones. It's not just fringe groups. So...
Something may be about to break, guys.
I think we better stay on this topic.
Absolutely. I think for the time period right now, this is what we're covering. A lot of more information out there.
A lot more information, for the benefit of our listeners and for mankind in general, we need to stay on this.
Right. I mean, just theories alone could cover a whole episode.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we've already dabbled on some of it. We've already touched some of the theories.
I think we're about to see, maybe not see, but we're about to get a hint at the possibility of what different theories may apply.
Right. And at that point, if there is life out there, which I do somewhat believe there is.
Mm-hmm.
If the government's already encountered these beings and they know about them.
Yes. Yes.
Are we going to see a time where they're actually showing their faces on planet Earth?
It could be like that old Reba McEntire song. I'm just wondering if there's life out there.
Right. I mean, Alien Nation. Y'all have seen the show.
Oh, yeah.
What I do think of is Signs with Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That broke the first time I actually saw one, that was broke on the news and the reaction.
Everybody
from
went
that
crazy.
Worldwide was just...
I mean, what happens? What happens when the government comes out and said, we've had contact with these beings?
Buddy, that's when I think all bets are off. That's when I think all bets are off. If anybody owes you any money, you better go collect.
Right. That'll change everything.
Yeah, it'll change everything. The casinos will be making some money, I assure you.
Whew. No doubt. Well, guys, I think we've shared some good information today. Like we said, we're going to continue on this topic for the next several episodes at least.
Yes, sir.
I want to see what happens when they release this information to the Senate committee and... see what they're actually going to share with us.
And, you know, we might want to revisit some local stories.
Absolutely.
Do some local interviews. And maybe even since we got Brother Billy White, Paranormal Billy, as we call him, he might want to participate in a reenactment.
Absolutely.
And just for the entertainment of the people of Earth.
Earthlings.
And the paranormal is something that interests us. We're also looking at other ghost hunts.
I'm glad you said that. I got something to tell.
Fantastic.
I got something to tell.
I figured you did. I had a
That's part of the paranormal. You knew what was
a mental
coming.
Connection.
Yes, a mental connection. And I'm going to tell you, folks, there's nothing any scarier or any worse than being mentally connected with me and this Joker right here. I'm telling you.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying. But
if y'all could see the stuff in Jason's head.
Oh, man. Look away. Just look away. I gave a shout-out on the last episode to Whitney Yarbrough and got a little feedback on that. And Marianne Cash wanted to make sure to give her a shout-out. She's also a loyal listener. Maybe she can get Brian to get a little bit more involved in that. They're some old friends of mine from Birmingham and appreciate them very much. And they both have volunteered if we would consider that direction, that part of the state. They want to do some paranormal investigations with the three of us.
Fantastic. I think that'd be incredible.
Oh, man.
We need to invest in some investigating tools.
We need some tools.
Yeah, we call them EMF meters.
Some EMF meters, some infrared goggles. And
what you really need is something that plays a reverse beat.
Yeah, there you go.
I promise you, as silly as that sounds, it's true.
What are those things called, Billy? You had one.
Well, I had a reversal machine from reversespeech.com.
Okay.
But that was just like a little handheld tape recorder that went forward and reverse and had a speed control on it. But that's years ago. It don't even work anymore. So I contacted people asking they could get it fixed, and they were like, no, you got to get this different now. You got to get the software on your computer.
Oh, right. It's on another level.
But
now.
Like, I mean, you talked about months ago.
Yes.
What gave me that idea was that paranormal site that said that in their research they have found that these spirits or whatever they are communicated to each other in reverse. So that's why I'm saying that.
That sounds almost demonic.
Well, it is what
backwards
it is.
Backwards is demonic.
You know, I tell you what, man, you listen to that. Have you ever heard any of those back when they... I've always heard it referred to as backward masking. And it sounds kind of like... Pepsi's better than Coke.
I recently watched the new Conjuring movie about Ed and Lorraine Warren.
The Devil Made Me Do It.
Yes, I recently watched that. And then I started doing a little more research into it and actually... found some of their recordings online. It is terrifying.
I watched a 2-hour documentary on those two, and I'm going to tell you, man, they were something. They were
terrifying.
Really terrifying. It was just really, I don't know what else to say about it. It was just impressive.
I don't know if I want to bring it up on this show, but I told you about the local house that the lady was having the problems.
Yes, yes.
And we went, and I took my reversal machine in there. Recorded.
Yeah, we'll save that
results,
for the episode.
Results of that.
Yes.
We'll save that
yes.
for an episode focused on that.
Yes.
Well, folks, I think we're going to get ready to wrap it up tonight. Been a very informative episode. I love having Billy on the show with us, Jason.
He's great. He
always comes with a lot of information. I love it. Because me and you just jackleg it most of the time.
You know, that you're right, man. That's a good benefit to us because we generally come with very little information. We got nothing to offer but what's on the top of our heads, and that's less and less the older we get.
Right. Well, folks, we'll see y'all next time. We'll come back with y'all with another paranormal episode next time. Hopefully, we'll have the government information at that point.
Yes.
We are working on other things, paranormal investigation, ghost hunts. It's the season, man. We're getting close to Halloween.
Oh, we're already prepping for it, man. When it shows up, we're going to be ready.
I'm ready for a true blue paranormal investigation with equipment.
Ready to hit it.
That's it. Well, folks, we'll see y'all next time. Billy, thanks again for being on the show with us.
All right.
Adios.
Adios.